Amen. Amen. Would you go with me, please, to our, we're still launching at 1 Peter 2 in the Message Bible. And again, the title of this message is Reboot to Restore. We'll talk about a little bit about rebooting after we share the scripture. 2 Peter 2, verses 13 to 16 in the Message Bible reads, "Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order." Listen to this closely. "It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God and respect the government." Revere God and respect the government. Now, how many of you have heard the term reboot? And you know what it means. Okay. Usually it's designed to something electronic or some software. It can also be used when people reboot their career, you know. But typically and mostly it's with electronics. And the reason you have to reboot is something caused your device to freeze, to get stuck. And nothing you do changes it. It's frozen. Every time you look at the screen, you see the same thing. It's not going anywhere unless you do something. And what you have to do is you have to shut down. That means you have to take power away from it, allow it to die, and then power back up. As long as there's power going to it, it will stay stuck. It will stay frozen, and all you'll be able to do is look at it. And the danger with that is you keep looking at it, and you get to the point where you think, this is never going to end. This is never going to, every time I look, it's still there. I've prayed. I've sprinkled holy water. I've done everything I know to do. This thing is still here, and it doesn't look like it's even weakening. You're stuck. And every time you utter a word about what you think it's doing, you're giving it more strength. And so we need to reboot. We need to pull the power away from it, let it die, and then power back up so we can go on in the right direction, looking at the right things, saying the right things, and receiving everything that God said. So we need to shut down and we need to restart because we're stuck. There are folks that are stuck concerning the social issues going on in this world, the political issues going on in this world, the health issues going on in this world. You're stuck. Why? Because that's all you're listening to. And you're believing that over what God's word says. We're believing that over what, I really don't. I mean, no disrespect or insensitivity to anybody, but I don't care what the percentage of the new cases of COVID-19 are in this area, because it doesn't have anything to do with what God said. So I'm not going to focus on that because I'd never leave my house if I did. And every day that I was supposed to be here, I was here. Amen. Every time I was supposed to be here, I was here, along with our tech team. You know, they're here. Thank you. if we're focusing on what is, you're not going to be here. You're going to stay indoors. And I'm not saying you be reckless. You know, you follow the direction of the Holy Ghost, but that's what you do. You ask, okay, Father, what do I need to do about what they said? But you don't want to stay stuck because the thoughts come in. I thought that this would be over by now. Well, who said so? Did God say this was going to be here for 4 months and then go? No. We have need of patience, that after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise. So when we speak it with our mouth, patience takes over. I found some things out about me. I'm only anxious when I'm impatient. You can't be patient and anxious at the same time. Patience says, I am not stuck. Patience says, this is the confidence that I have. I know he hears me, and since I know he hears me, I know I have what I've asked for. See, that's what I need to reboot and start thinking on those things. I can't do it if I'm stuck. And in order to become unstuck, I have to take the power away. How do you take the power away? As I said earlier, you stop talking about it. You stop meditating. The Bible tells us to meditate on the word day and night, observing to do all that's written therein. When you get stuck, the circumstance is saying, meditate on me day and night, using it as a reason not to do what you don't want to do anyway. And then you'll have fun. Well, guess what, folks? It's a liar. It's a liar. It wants you to stay stuck so it can keep feeding you. There was a movie. I said, what's that series, honey, that our grandchildren were reading the books? Percy Jackson and the Olympians. I like this one movie they made called The Lightning Thief, where someone stole one of Zeus's lightning bolts. But what was funny is that they were in a place, I don't know the name of Lotus something, but they kept feeding them these cookies. And as long as they ate these cookies, they had no clue as to how long they were in there. And they wound up being in there for, I don't know what it was, 3 weeks, 2 months, or something like that. They were talking to someone who had been in there since 1975 and didn't know. Why? Because he kept feeding on that which allowed him to stay stuck. And that's why the enemy comes with these waves of things happening. That's why it appears that things die down and then they sprout back up, because it's designed to keep your focus on it so that you stay stuck. And the only way to get unstuck is to reboot. And not a soft reboot, a hard reboot. Just pull a plug and say, no more power is going to this thing. And you wait before you power back up. For years, we've been teaching, this ministry has been teaching and preaching the Word of God, and we've been sticking with the Word of God. And we did it because there are principles in the Word of God that are very important. Look at 2 Timothy. I'm going to share it in the Amplified, and I could share some in the Message also. 2 Timothy 3. Verses 16 to 17. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. Everybody say why. So that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that means the Word of God is profitable to put us in a position where we can deal properly with anything and everything that comes. It doesn't matter how much it comes, how long it stays, the Word of God is proficient. The Message Bible talks about people being out there to deceive and to exploit the faith. And, you know, as long as they're out there, things can only get worse. But in verse 14, it says, but don't let it faze you. Stick with what you learned and believed, sure of the integrity of your teachers. I mean, you can stick with it because you know the person that taught you knew what they were talking about. And so you believe it. So no matter what comes, you do it. It says, there is nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us the truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we're put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. That's why we teach the word, because only the word is profitable for everything. Only the word will get you ready for anything that comes. Only the word will tell you how to properly handle everything that comes. So it's our responsibility to just keep giving you the word and encouraging you. If you're going to get stuck on anything, get stuck on that. If you want anything to be frozen, let it be the words that God spoke to you. That's why it says, don't let these words depart out of your mouth, but meditate on them day and night, observing to do all that's written in them. Because when you do that, it doesn't say God will make your way prosperous. It says you will. And it says you will have good success, which means God will show you what to do and you will do it. And not concern yourself with circumstances. I found out something about circumstances. Actually, it was a couple of weeks ago, and I've been thinking about it and thinking about it. Do you realize that the only thing that stops you from doing what God told you to do are circumstances? God tells you, you know, I want you to go to Australia and start a ministry. You start thinking about how much money you have or how much money you don't have. You start thinking, how am I going to get over there? You start thinking, do they have a quarantine program? Am I going to have to stay for 14 days before I do anything? You know, all these thoughts are going to come into your mind, and you're going to have loved ones who really believe they have your best interests going to tell you, well, now, you know, we need to think about these things, because are you sure God meant he wanted you to go there and stay? You know, there's no distance in prayer. Maybe he wants you to just add them to your prayer time wherever you are. Well-meaning, but we start thinking about these things. How am I going to get something about my car? How am I going to get to the airport? You know, if you have a pet, so what am I going to do with my dog or my cat or all these circumstances? And we act like we're the only ones that circumstances ever happen to. And we forget that our Creator, our Heavenly Father, God, had to deal with circumstances. In Genesis, if you read in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth, it says the earth was void, but that word was means the earth became dark, formless. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. God didn't originally create the earth formless. He didn't create the earth with darkness. Something happened. A circumstance came, and the result of that circumstance was the earth became dark and void. And the Bible doesn't say how long that period was, but when God was ready, he didn't say to the Godhead, you know, We're going to recreate. I would like to recreate the earth, but we know what happened the first time I did it. So no, I don't know if we want to try that again. No, when God was ready, he said, light be. He didn't address whatever caused light to stop being in the first place. He didn't care about it. He said, light be. And he said it knowing that whatever was necessary for light to take place would take place. Even though something happened that blocked the light. He didn't focus on that. He focused on what he wanted to happen. He focused on what he said would happen. How many of you know that man wasn't the first being that God ever created? Anybody ever hear of angels? They're created beings. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And he said that after one of his created beings turned on him and took a third of the angels with him. He didn't say, you know, I'd like to create man, but it really hurt me to my heart when Lucifer did what he did. And I don't think I can go through that again. So even though I really want man, I just can't deal with this. Not now. So Godhead, just table that idea. No, he didn't let the circumstance stop him from doing what he wanted to do, from doing what he planned to do from the beginning. Have a creation that will choose to worship him, that will choose to love him. And he wasn't going to let any circumstance get in the way of that. Because he believed that every word that he said would come to pass. He believed that. And he said so. In Isaiah 55, he said, for my thoughts, beginning with verse 8, King James Version, he said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my way your ways my ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. Because you don't think like I think, you don't act the way I act. So if you're not acting the way God acts, who are you acting like? Okay. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I haven't found any translation that said, and that's the way it's always going to be. We're made in his image and after his likeness. We have the mind of Christ, who has the mind of God. Therefore, we should have the mind of God, and his thoughts should be our thoughts. And his way should be always. Should be. But we let circumstances get in the way and we get stuck and we don't believe that our thoughts can be God's thoughts. That's why Mark 11:23. Well, let me finish in Isaiah first. I'm getting excited. Verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And I started thinking about that as I was reading it. Just picture this. God said, my word shall not return to me void. He said, it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I set it. So when he created the earth, when he created the angels, and when Lucifer turned on him, and caused all the chaos, God knew that his word was still not going to return to him void. He still knew. He still had the whole plan. He didn't change from what he said. He didn't say, I thought my word wouldn't return to me void. Just because a circumstance happens, that doesn't mean it's the end of the line. Because why would the Bible tell us the just shall live by faith, if everything we said was going to happen immediately and nothing was ever going to shake it. So the just shall live by faith. Why would Jesus say, in this world, you will have tribulations if nothing was ever going to go wrong? But all we have to do is stick to what it says in Mark 11, 23. I'm going to move right down to the Ben Campbell Johnson translation, because I understood the verse, but when I read it in the Johnson translation, then it made sense to me. I don't know if it's the way I think and look at things, but it made sense to me. Truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. So what it's telling us is we make a statement of faith, a circumstance comes, and we don't change our confession. We keep saying what we've been saying all along, we'll see it. But it also tells us, if we become separated, if we allow ourselves to get stuck only looking at the circumstance, we won't see what we've been confessing. We cannot allow, once you grab on, you cannot allow anything or anyone to separate you from what you said. I've told you before, my attitude was, if you did something to me, you regretted it. And yes, I made people change their mind about what they said concerning me. They may have thought they were going to do something to me, but they found out that wasn't a good idea. And they became separated from the words that they spoke. The devil's job is to separate you. Jesus told us that when he was talking to Peter on the beach. He said, Peter, Satan has desired. He's come to me consistently asking permission to sift all of you, but especially you, Peter, like wheat. He's trying to get you to separate yourself from me. He's trying to get you stuck on what's going to be happening so that you don't do the things that I've taught you to do. And then every time I think about this, it absolutely amazes me, folks. Jesus did not tell Satan, no, you can't have him. He could have just as easily said to Satan, no, and that would have been it. He said, Peter, I've prayed for you so that your faith wouldn't fail. He's like, Peter, Satan has my permission to come after you. But I've prayed for you. I've prayed that your faith won't fail, but it is going to fail. But it's not going to take you out, because when you're converted, when you come back to me, strengthen your brethren. So all through it, Jesus knew that Peter was going to be shaken loose, but he didn't change his plans. And let me raise up another one of the disciples to do this. Why? My word will not return to me void. It will accomplish that what I set it out to accomplish. See, once we reboot and we're restored back to the original operating system, operating the right way, the way it was designed, we remember those things. It takes our minds off of what's going on and puts them back on to what God said. And when it's on what God said, we have what God says. So it's very important that when we speak, we don't allow any circumstance to separate us from what we said. God didn't do it. Jesus didn't do it. He told his disciples, Lazarus is asleep. We're going to go wake him up. Then he gets there, and Lazarus is as dead as a doornail. And Jesus doesn't go, Father, what happened? I believed what you said. Why is Lazarus dead? Cry, 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 cry. I loved him. He died anyway. I thought I was your son. Doubt. Jesus didn't have any, even though all the people in the town did. Take away the stone. No, Jesus, no. We know you love him, and we know this is hard for you, but you got to accept the reality, Jesus. He's dead. He's been dead 4 days, Jesus. He's been dead so long, he stinks from the decomposition. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you if you didn't become separated, you would see the salvation of God? Roll away the stone. And then, very important, just like God didn't speak to whatever condition it was that was keeping the earth in that poor shape, Jesus never spoke to whatever it was that caused Lazarus' death. He never addressed it. What did he say? Lazarus, come forth. And what, just like with light B, whatever had to happen for Lazarus to come forth happened. And Lazarus came forth whole, completely healed, smelling good. Okay. Because Jesus didn't allow the circumstance to separate him from the words that he spoke. Didn't allow it. When 9 of Jesus' disciples couldn't cast out one demon from a boy, Jesus came, and one translation says he ordered the offending demon out. And it left, but before it left, it put on a show. It thrashed the boy all over the place. The people were like, oh my God, see, even Jesus can't do anything about this. And it says it left the boy looking like he was dead. Jesus didn't say to the man, I'm sorry, I thought my word was going to work, but I guess my 9 disciples were right. I can't do anything for you. No, Jesus just went to the boy, get up, come on. Get up. And the boy got up well. But it looked like he was dead. If Jesus was focused on what he looked like, he'd have been stuck. He'd have been frozen. But he only looks at what his father said. As the father has taught me, that's what I do. That's what I say. The father didn't teach me this. So why am I doing it? Father didn't teach us to doubt. So why are we doubting? I only do those things my father has taught me. I only do those things that my father has taught me. My father said, my confidence is in knowing that he hears me. And since he hears me, I have the petitions that I ask for. My father said his word doesn't return to me void, to him void. My father said his word accomplishes everything he set it out to accomplish. That's what my father said, so that's the only word that matters. I don't care what the circumstance says. I do not care. I don't care what it looks like. In Joel 2, my father never becomes separated from the words that he speaks. So I'm not going to become separated from the words that I speak either, as long as the words I speak are in line with what he says. Joel 2, verse 25, Amplified Bible. I'm not going to read the whole thing. And I will restore... or replace for you the years that the locust has eaten. Now think of it. I didn't see this morning. I will restore or replace not the moments, not the few weeks. I will restore or replace the years. The years that the locusts have stolen. Why did he say years? Because this thing isn't necessarily going to happen right away. So he didn't say, I'll replace the moments. I will restore or replace the years of devastation that this thing has caused. I'll restore it or I'll replace it. And I don't care what kind of locust it was. It says the hopping locust, the stripping locust, the crawling locust. It doesn't matter what it is. God said, I'll either restore it or replace it. And I don't care how long it's been like that. Because I am God. Period. And we need to understand that. Now let's go to Ezekiel. Because I'm going to show you something else that's extremely important, folks. And I believe that with everything else that's going on, this is probably reason number one or 1A as to why we haven't seen things start to resolve themselves. Ezekiel 37, Amplified Bible. Says the hand of the Lord, starting with verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Full of bones. And he caused, I'm surprised it didn't freak him out, because God picked you up and put you down in the valley of bones. You said, I wonder, what are you doing? You think that God abandoned you. Start casting out Satan. He said, it was full of bones, and he caused me to pass round about among them, and behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley or plain, and behold, they were very dry. That means they had been there a long time, because these bones were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. That way you don't give the wrong answer. He said, God, you know. Again, he said to me, this, folks, this is absolutely important. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these dry bones and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Didn't say, O you dry bones, become moist. He told bones that have been dry for a very long time, hear the word of the Lord. So, Pastor, why are you getting excited about that? He was speaking to a circumstance. And it doesn't matter how long it's been like that, the circumstance has to hear the word of the Lord. Those affected by the circumstance has to hear the word of the Lord. Period. And then he said, see, God pays no attention to conditions or circumstances. Excuse me. No attention to them. The only thing he pays attention to is what he said. Because he said, I watch over my word to perform it. He doesn't say, I watch over the circumstance to make sure it's going away. He watches over his word and makes sure his word is doing what it's supposed to do. Period. These were lifeless bones that God had Ezekiel tell him to hear the word of the Lord. Why? As we read earlier in 2 Timothy, every scripture is God-breathed and profitable. So you have a circumstance, it needs to hear the word of the Lord. It's just that simple. Okay. And so God told the dry bones to listen to his word. Then he gave him his word. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath and spirit in you, and you dry bones shall live, and you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler who calls forth loyalty and obedience. So Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. He didn't say, so I prophesied based on what it looked like. I prophesied based on what was happening. No, I prophesied based on what God told me. So I prophesied that I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and trembling and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Say the bones came together. Think about what happened. There was a trembling, a shaking, and a rattling. Those bones didn't get up and start running around. What's the first thing the bones did? Came into unity. It said bone to bone. The ankle bone didn't say, I always wanted to be a shoulder bone. So let me run over to where the shoulder bones go. The bone didn't say, well, the person I was in before was only 5'6". I want to be in someone at least 6 feet. So it moved to another set of bones. Every bone went where it was supposed to go and connected where it was supposed to be connected. And they didn't start moving around until every single bone was in place. Go to Psalm 133. Those bones had to become, had to operate in unity, and they had to do it immediately if they were going to move around. They had to come into a place of unity. Are you at Psalm 133? I'm not. King James Version, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. For as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, listen to this, for there, where is there? That point of unity, the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The prophecy to the dry bones was to live. If the live command is only found at the place of unity, guess what there has to be before you can start living? Unity. And I'll tell you something. There's a difference between unity and agreement. If you're in unity, you're in agreement. But you can be in agreement and not be in unity. I mean, that's just, those bones knew. God did not, now notice something. God didn't say, prophesy to these dry bones and tell them to live and get their hips where they're supposed to be. He just said, prophesy to them to live. The bones had to know what was required for them to live. We know what's required for us to receive the blessing life. Unity. Unity with what? Unity with the Word of God. Because when we're in unity with the Word of God, we'll be in unity one with another. Because God said in the same scripture where it says we're ambassadors for Christ, you read further down, and it said that God worked out his differences with us and then left us to work out our differences with one another. So God said, my responsibility was to take to get you to the place where we can have unity. Now it's your responsibility to have unity one with another. I am not going to make you walk in unity with your brother and sister. You have to make you do that. If we want to experience the command, live life. Because it's at the place of unity where that blessing is given. Life. Those bones started moving and went to where they belonged, bone to bone. It didn't matter how long they'd been dead, how long they'd been dry. It didn't matter to God, and it didn't matter to him. Not one bone said, I can't. I've been here so long, a bird pecked me, and I'm chipped. Somebody needs to help me. No, if God tells you to do it, you can do it by yourself. By yourself. And if you need any help, whose responsibility is it? It's God's responsibility. Because he told you what to do. He told you where to go. He told you what to say, knowing everything there is about you. And he told you anyway, which means you can do it if you want to. Those bones wanted to come together. They wanted to. God wanted to restore or replace years. Years. And make them better than they was. If you read all of that out in Joel. So folks, yes, there's stuff going on. There's circumstances out there. Well, God knew that before the foundation of the world. That's why he said things like the just shall live by faith. With the Lord, things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. My word will not return to you void. You're an ambassador for Christ. He told us who he, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always. Always. That lets us know things are going to happen. That lets us know that we're going to be in battles. But we're in battles that we've already won. We need to understand that. And stop concerning ourselves with how long the battle lasts. Because it doesn't matter. I haven't done the math as to the time from Adam's fall to Christ's resurrection. But it wasn't a few years. It was a few generations of people. God waited. He didn't get upset about anything because he knew his word was not going to return to him void. He was going to have man after his image and after his likeness, and they are going to have dominion over everything concerning this earth. Period. That's what's going to happen. He knows it. He knows when it's going to happen. But it doesn't matter because he knows he said it and his word does not return to him void. And if we're, since we're his children, our word doesn't have to return to us void either. If we're letting his words become our words, and that will only happen when we allow his thoughts to be our thoughts. Once that happens, we will no longer concern ourselves with circumstances. We won't allow, when the screen freezes, pull the plug, let it die, power back up. Power back up. Reboot it and be restored. Or replaced, because that thing keeps freezing up, it's got to go. It's got to go. Maybe you call some, maybe it's whatever it is, you call that spirit out of it. But I'm just going to tell you this one key point again, and then I'm done. I want you to understand the enemy is always going to come and try and get you stuck on something that's not godly. That's not godly. All this social unrest going on in this world is not godly. Not godly. I saw the name of an organization. I cannot repeat the name because in the name, the first few words in the name was profanity. This is a militia organization. And I'm like, this isn't right. The reason it's happening is that the church is not united to the cause of Christ. There's this dysfunction between social issues and spiritual issues. And the only way you are going to be able to reboot is that because the thing's not going to go away. You're going to have to stop wasting your time on social media reading about all these things that happen. Okay. So 347 young black men were killed over the last 10 years. Okay. What does that have to do with "For God so loved the world"? What does it have to do with going to all the world and preach the gospel? What does it have to do with the tens of thousands that have been killed by other people of the same race that we don't talk about? But we're focusing on these things and we're developing an attitude about people who we've never sat down and talked with. We develop, treat everyone with dignity and respect. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. We have to take power away from the circumstance. We have to stop reading the posts. We have to stop reposting them. We have to stop posting our ungodly opinions. We're going to have to stop posting because of who we are. People are going to take what we say differently. They're in the church. And look at what they're saying. See, I knew we were right. Racism, like any other kind of ism, is a circumstance that's designed to bring forth division and get our minds off of what God said and stuck on a circumstance. I'm human. There are things I don't like. There are things I look at and say, this isn't right. But then I have to think, okay, this isn't right. What's my responsibility, Lord? My responsibility is to live the truth in front of the people and let them see the truth. That's my responsibility. Conduct myself that folks will want to talk to me because they see genuine love in me for them. And if they see the love, they'll receive the wisdom. Are there things that in this earth that are wrong? Absolutely. They've been wrong from the beginning. It was wrong for Lucifer to turn against God. It was wrong for him to influence a third of the angels. But he's using, Lucifer that is, he's using that same principle today. Putting up mouthpieces, trying to get you to go against God and take as many people with you as you can. That's what he's trying to do. That's why we have to be wise as serpents. And we have to do, we have to at least be a dry bone and hear the word of the Lord. And then if we're being a dry bone, once we hear the word of the Lord and the word is life, then we get ourselves in unity so we can receive life. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your plan from the beginning was to restore or replace years of things that can be considered devastating. You knew they were coming, and you put a plan in place. And your plan is the just shall live by faith. Your plan is any man that's in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Your plan was to give us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And what we bind is bound. And what we loose is loose. You made us the gatekeepers of this planet, the caretakers of this planet. And we thank you that we have a better understanding as to who we are and what we're responsible for. But even more important, we realize that at just like you are not moved by circumstances, neither are we. And we will never again allow a circumstance to change our confession as to who you are, who we are because of you, and the authority that you've given us as your children. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Ghost will give us more revelation of this message in the days and weeks and even months and years to come. You'll bring things back. You'll make it clear. You'll give revelation knowledge so we'll know exactly what we're supposed to do. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just shout out hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here who's never received Jesus Christ as Savior? And the reason that's important is you won't be able to operate in unity with the Father until you do, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father without coming through me. So that means if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you're saved. Is there anyone here that wants to be saved, wants to receive Jesus Christ as Savior? Okay. Amen. So everybody say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Amen. Amen.